Amen. All right, so we're Matthew 13, and look, if you would, to verse number, Matthew 13, look at verse number 3. Matthew 13, 3, the Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow." Look at verse number 4. It says, "And when he sowed," notice, "some seeds fell," notice this phrase, "fell by the wayside." It says, "fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." And the title of my sermon tonight, as Pastor said, is Lessons from the Wayside. Lessons from the Wayside. And as we heard Brother Stuckey's sermon last week, there were four different grounds as Jesus begins his parable. There was four different types of grounds that he describes. He describes the stony places, right? He describes the ground where there were thorns. He describes the good ground. But this first ground, he calls it the wayside. And keep your place there in Matthew 13. That's our text for today. But go to Mark 4, if you would. Mark chapter number 4. We're going to look at all three mentions of this verse, the wayside, in the three different accounts of the gospel. In Mark 4, if you look at verse number 4, Mark 4, 4, again, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he sowed," notice, "some fell," again, "by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up." Keep your place there in Mark, if you would, again, go to Luke chapter number 8, Luke 8. I just want to show you the three mentions of this parable in the three different gospels. So, the title of the sermon is called Lessons from the Wayside. In Luke chapter 8, look at verse number 5, if you would. Luke 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed," notice, "some fell," again, "by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it." So again, this is a parable. It's a story. So the question is, you know, who is the wayside? How do we, what is it that defines these people as the wayside? Keep your place in all three of them. Go back to Matthew 13, but keep your place in Luke as well. So you should be in Luke 8, Mark 4, but go back to Matthew chapter number 13. And let's see, who is the wayside? What is it that makes somebody the wayside according to the parable? Matthew 13, and look at verse number 19. I'm sorry, look at verse 18. Matthew 13, 18, the Bible says, here Jesus is speaking, saying, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So now he's going to explain what the parable means. Look at verse number 19. It says, "When anyone," notice, "heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart." Notice, "This is he which received seed by the wayside." Notice it says, this is he who, this is who, this is he which received seed by the wayside. You see, the person by the wayside is a person that heard the gospel. In verse 19, again, it says, "When anyone," notice, "when he heareth the word of the kingdom." Notice, he heard the word of God. He heard the word of the kingdom. He heard the gospel. Go on, it says, "and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which," notice, "which was sown in his heart." Again, this is he which received seed by the wayside. Go to Mark 4 again, Mark chapter number 4. So who is he that is by the wayside? Who is the wayside? He's the one that heard the gospel. Mark 4, look at verse number 15. It says, "And these are they by the wayside," notice, "where the word is sown." You see, the gospel was sown in this person by the wayside. Where the word is sown, notice, but when they have heard. See, they heard the word of God. "Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was," once again, notice, "sown in their hearts." Go to Luke chapter number 8, Luke 8. So again, we see in Mark 4 that they heard the word. The word was sown. The word was sown in their hearts. Luke 8, look at verse number 12. Luke 8, 12, the Bible says, "Those by," again, "the wayside are they," here's that word again, "that hear." Again, they heard the gospel. "Then cometh the devil and taketh away," notice, "the word out of their hearts." You see, the person by the wayside is not the person that just doesn't want to hear the gospel. It's not the person that just rejects you at the door. It's not the person that you just hand a tract to. No, the person by the wayside is the one that wants to hear the gospel, and you give them the gospel. They heard the word of the kingdom. That seed was sown. The seed was sown in their hearts. This person by the wayside, they heard the gospel. But what else? Look, you're in Luke 8. Look at verse 12 again. It says, "Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil," and notice, "and taketh away the word out of their hearts." Notice, "lest they should believe and be saved." See, not only did they hear the gospel, but the people by the wayside did not get saved. It says, "lest they should believe and be saved." Why? Because these people did not believe. Satan took the word out of their heart. Go back to Matthew 13, Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew 13, look, verse number 19 again. Matthew 13, 19, it says, when anyone, again, heareth the word of the kingdom, notice, and understandeth it not. You see, an unsaved person does not understand salvation. See, this person by the wayside, they allowed you to give them the gospel. You might have spent 15, 20, 30 minutes, 45 giving them the gospel. They heard the word. The seed was sown. The seed was planted. But what happened? They did not believe. They did not get saved. It says that the word was taken out of their hearts. It says, lest they should believe and be saved. Why? Because these people by the wayside, they heard the word, but they did not get saved. And if you're in Matthew 13, in verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which, notice, was sown in his heart. You see, people will look at that phrase and get confused. People would say, well, you know what? It says that it was sown in their heart. How could they not be saved? And go to Mark 4, if you would. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 15. You see, people will look at that phrase, sown in their heart, and think, well, they must have gotten saved if the word was sown. Mark 4, look at verse number 15. It says, and these are they by the wayside. Notice, again, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was, again, here's that phrase, sown in their hearts. See, people might get confused thinking, well, wasn't the word sown in their hearts? How could they not be saved? But you have to understand that every time you go soul winning, you are a sower sowing the seed. You are planting that seed in their heart every time you give someone the gospel. But unless they believe and call upon the Lord for salvation, that seed will never take root. You see, they must believe that seed, believe on the Lord, and call upon him for that root, for that seed to take root in their heart. You see, unless they don't believe, that seed is just going to stay there. No, they must believe on the Lord. So don't let that phrase confuse you. It was sown, but notice what happened. The devil took it away. Why? Because unless they believe, that seed will never take root. Nothing will ever grow. And so, who are the wayside? The wayside is not the person who rejected you at the door. They weren't rude to you. No, they heard the gospel. Maybe you spent 20, 30, 40 minutes. You gave them the word. They heard the word. It was sown in their hearts. But what happened? They did not get saved. They didn't believe. The seed never took root because they never believed and called upon the Lord for salvation. And there are lessons that we can learn from the wayside, lessons about soul winning. Why? Because the parable of the sower is a story about soul winning. And there's three points I have, or three lessons that we can learn from the wayside. And my first point is the wayside shows us that not everyone will get saved. Not everyone will get saved. Go to Acts chapter 28. Keep your place in the Gospels, of course, but go to Acts 28. Acts chapter number 28. So the wayside shows us that you may give people the gospel, but you know what? Not everyone is going to get saved. Matthew 28, look at verse number 23. This is, of course, the Apostle Paul. It says, and when they had appointed him a day, Acts 28, verse 23, it says, and when they had appointed him a day, it says, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Notice, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Here, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul spent all day, morning till evening. Many were coming to him. What was he doing? He was expounding. He was testifying the word of God. He was persuading people, pleading with them to get saved. But notice what happens in verse 24. It says, and some believe the things which are spoken. And notice, and some believe not. You see, it's unrealistic for you to think that if you're giving everyone the gospel or people the gospel, that just everyone's going to get saved. You see, the wayside shows us that not everyone that you give the gospel to will get saved. And what's going to happen? You know what? Some will believe, but you know what? Some won't believe. So don't have this expectation that, well, if I'm giving the gospel, this person's definitely going to get saved. But you know what? There's still things that we can profit when we give the gospel to the wayside. You see, the wayside, it's not a waste. You know, we're still accomplishing many things when we give the gospel, even though they may not get saved. You know, when we go soul winning and we spend a whole day preaching the word of God and nobody gets saved, you know what? We're still accomplishing many great things. So don't think you're not accomplishing anything if nobody gets saved. You see, the wayside shows us that, yes, not everyone will get saved, but when we go soul winning, we're still doing many things. We're still accomplishing great things. We still get to do what? We still get to warn people about hell. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. You see, not everyone will get saved, but we're still accomplishing many great things. So don't get discouraged if you spent 20, 30, 40 minutes giving somebody the gospel, if they're receptive to it, you know, take your time. Plant that seed, give them the word. But if they don't get saved, never consider it a waste. Soul winning is never a waste. If you get nobody saved in a day, in a week, in a month, soul winning is never in vain. And what do? We may not get them saved, but we can warn them about hell. Colossians 1, look at verse number 27. Colossians 1, 27, it says, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, notice, warning every man. It doesn't say saving every man. See, we don't have control that everyone's going to get saved, but the control that we do have is that we can warn every man. It says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, the wayside, we have no control over them believing. That's between them and God. But we have the power to do what? To warn every man. You see, and if they don't get saved, at least they were warned. They're warned that, hey, if you don't get saved, you will go to hell. That there is a hell. There is a judgment coming if you don't believe on the Lord, that he's the only way. You know what? At least you're warning them. At least they know, you know what? If I don't believe this, then I might go to hell. So it's not in vain because you're at least warning them, right? And that's what we're commanded to do. Not only that, but the wayside shows us that not everyone's going to get saved, but we still get to earn rewards in heaven. Go to Revelation 22. Revelations 22. You see, soul winning, it makes no difference if nobody gets saved. We're still accomplishing great things. And one of those things is we're earning rewards. And, you know, God's going to reward you according to your labor. And sowing seed, soul winning is labor. But you know what? In all labor, there is profit. And God's going to make sure that when you're laboring out there in the field, that you will get rewarded for the work that you do. Whether or not they get saved, whether they get saved or not, you're still doing the same amount of work. And God's going to reward you for that work. Revelation 22:12, the Bible says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. It doesn't say that they have to get saved for you to get reward. No, if you're putting in the work, if you're sowing in the field, God's going to reward you for that work. So if you're spending 30, 40, an hour talking to someone and they don't get saved, you know, God's still going to reward you. You know, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of work and love. God will reward you for the work that you do. And so it's never in vain. What else do we get to do when we preach the gospel to the wayside? They may not get saved, but you know what? At least we get to hand out our resources from our church. We have many resources that we give out, like the DVDs, right? The movies, the lessons for new believers, the Bible's Way to Heaven. You know, even the church track has the gospel plan. It has our church information. And you know what? You never know, those people may come. Just on Wednesday, we had people come because they received the track at their door. You know, and we tried to give them the gospel. They didn't get saved. But you know what? Some people do come and they do get saved. And so even though they didn't get saved there, when we go soul winning, you know what? They may come because you gave them an invite. Or they may go online and watch the Bible's Way to Heaven. Or they may watch the documentary and open up to the Word of God. You never know. It's never in vain, is what I'm saying. So don't ever consider that you went soul winning all day, nobody got saved. No, that's okay. Great things are still being accomplished. And go to 1 Corinthians. Not only that, but when we sow the seed to the wayside and they don't get saved, you never know what might happen in the future. Because what you're doing is you're planting a seed. You're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians 3. But when you're sowing that seed, you know, they may not get saved right then and there. But you never know what may happen to them a year down the road, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe they're not at that place for salvation. And, you know, many of us, myself included, I didn't get saved the first time I heard the gospel. You know, many people in this room, it took a couple of times. It took some time. You heard the word of God, the seed was sown, but you didn't get saved right away. It took a little bit of time. So what are you doing? You're planting that seed, and you don't know what may happen to someone a year or two down the road. God may be waiting to get them to that place where they will believe the word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse number 5. 1 Corinthians 3, 5, the Bible says, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man Notice it says, I have planted Apollos watered. See, the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? I planted that seed. I gave the word of God. And when you're soul winning, whether they get saved or not, you're still giving them the truth. You're showing them the gospel. You're planting a seed in their heart. And it says, and what? And Apollos watered. So you never know, in a week, in a year, 5 years, 10 years, an Apollos may come by to the person you spoke to and give water to that seed. And because you gave them the gospel, they might actually get saved. Or that person who heard the word, it was sown in their hearts, they may pick up a tract and read it, and it'll remind them to the seed that you planted a year or two ago, 5 years ago. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, they may get saved in the future. You just never know. So whether or not they get saved, never consider it a failure. It says, I have planted Apollos water. Notice, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, so that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, notice, but God that giveth the increase. See, God can work the circumstances in people's lives to bring them to salvation. You see, there was a point when, for myself and you know, many people, that the first time you heard it, you just weren't ready to receive it. You weren't ready to believe. You know, that seed was sown in your heart. You know, thank God that somebody took the time to plant that seed in you, that a soul winner went out and preached the gospel to you, and that seed was planted, and maybe later on you did get saved, right? So the wayside shows us that they may not get saved right then and there, but that seed you're planting, it could cause them to get saved sometime down the line. What else do we get to do? They may not get saved, but we get to, when it comes to soul winning, we get to fellowship and create bonds with one another. Go to Colossians again, Colossians chapter number 4. See, the wayside shows us that when we go soul winning, not everyone's going to get saved. But when we go soul winning, we go out, what, two by two as a team. And when it comes to soul winning, nobody gets saved. But you know what? At least you get to bond and fellowship with the person that you're going soul winning with. And soul winning is a great way to build bonds, to build friendships. Why? Because when you work together with someone, that often brings you closer. You're striving together. Colossians 4, look at verse number 7. Colossians 4, 7, it says, all my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts with, notice, Onesimus, a faithful and, notice again, beloved brother, who is one of you. Verse 10, go to verse 10, it says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom he received commandments, if he come unto you, notice, receive him, and Jesus, which is called Justus, verse 11, who are of the circumcision, notice, these only are what? Are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. The Apostle Paul naming all these names, Tychicus, he's saying a beloved brother. Onesimus, a beloved brother. He's saying Aristarchus, Marcus, he's saying receive these people. These people were close to the Apostles Paul, to his heart. Why? Because they were fellow workers. Because they worked together. And you know what? Working together, soul winning as a team will bring you closer to the person you're working with. And so even if nobody gets saved, you're still developing a bond with that person you're soul winning with. You know, you're building friendships. And the people who have the closest friendships in the church are the people that work together, that they go soul winning together, that they strive for things together. So the wayside teaches us, yes, that not everyone's going to get saved when you preach the gospel. But preaching the gospel and nobody gets saved is never in vain. You see, many great things are still accomplished. You're still planting a seed where eventually they might get saved. You're still earning rewards in heaven. What God's going to reward you for that work. You're still giving out our church information, our church resources, where people can hear the word of God. They can hear the truth. You're also fellowshipping with one another, creating bonds in the church. So don't get discouraged. You know, especially new soul winners, I often find that, even for myself, when I first got saved and I started going soul winning, I thought, man, everyone's going to get saved when I give them the gospel. But then you get discouraged because people don't get saved. So don't have this unrealistic expectation that just everyone's going to get saved. No, some will believe and some won't believe. And so don't think that everyone's just going to get saved. No, people by the wayside, they're going to hear, but they're not going to believe it. But that's okay because you're still earning rewards. Great things are still being done. So don't get discouraged. You know, you may be going through a dry spell. We all go through dry spells. You may have not gotten somebody saved It's been a month, it's been a week, it's been a whatever, months. That's okay. You know what? Somebody else will hear it. Go back to Matthew 13, Matthew chapter number 13. So number one, I say that the wayside shows us that not everyone will get saved. But number two, the wayside shows us who the enemy is. The wayside shows us who the enemy is. Matthew 13, look at verse number 19. Matthew 13, 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, notice, then cometh, it says, the wicked one. It says, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Can you replace her? We'll go to Mark 4, Mark chapter number 4. Mark 4. So what do we see? It says, then cometh who? It says, then cometh the wicked one. In Mark 4, look at verse number 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, notice, it says, Satan cometh immediately. It says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Go again to Luke 8. Luke chapter number 8. So you're going to Luke 8, but in Matthew 13, it said the wicked one. In Mark 4, we see that it's Satan. In Luke 8, look at verse number 12 again. Luke 8, 12, it says, those by the wayside are they that hear. Notice, then cometh who? Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. See, the wayside teaches us that there is an enemy. The wayside teaches us that Satan, the devil, the wicked one, he hates soul winning. The devil wants people to go to hell. He wants to take the word out of their heart. Satan hates soul winning. He does not want people to get saved. And you got to realize that this should show us that there is a power, that there is an evil, that there's a force of Satan, a power of darkness in the world that is fighting against people getting saved. And soul winning is the weapons of our warfare where we go and we fight the powers of Satan. Go back to Acts, go to Acts 26, if you would, Acts chapter 26. So what do we see? We see that the wicked one came, that Satan came. The devil came and he took the word of God out of their hearts. Why? Because he does not want people to get saved. And there is a power of darkness in this world. You got to realize there's a power of God, of course, but there's a power of Satan. Acts 26, here we have the Apostle Paul telling his conversion to King Agrippa. In Acts 26, look at verse 14. It says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, in verse 14, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. So now God, Jesus, is telling the Apostle Paul the purpose as to why he appeared unto him. It says, to make thee what? A minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. You see, he said, I delivered thee from the Gentiles unto whom now I'm sending you. Who is that? That's the world. And so in verse 16, Jesus told Paul, the purpose I brought you is to make you what? A minister and a witness. What is that? That's a soul winner. To do what? To send you into the world. For what purpose? Look at verse number 18. It says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And notice this phrase, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You see, the reason we go soul winning, the reason we as sowers go sow the word in people's hearts is to turn them, to deliver them from what? From the power of Satan. You see, soul winning is fighting literally the power of Satan. Soul winning is what is opening the eyes. It's turning people from darkness. It's turning people from the power of Satan. And, you know, the wayside also shows us about our enemy. It shows us his tactic or his method. Over and over, what did Satan keep doing? He kept taking the word out of their hearts. He kept taking the truth, the gospel of the salvation out of people's hearts. And we see the whole method that Satan is that he wants to keep people ignorant. He wants to keep people blind and dumb. In Acts 26, looking at verse number 18, it says, to open their eyes. Why? Because these people, they're blind. It says to turn them from darkness to light. These people are in darkness, meaning what? Meaning they're in ignorance. They don't know. They can't see. They don't know any better. And from the power of Satan to God. You see, the power of Satan is to keep people blind, dumb, ignorant to the truth, to the word of God, from hearing the gospel. You see, that's why Satan, when he comes, he wants to take that word out of their hearts. You see, that's his power, is keeping people ignorant of the truth. And you ought to realize that you as a soul winner, you're the hope for these people. You know, you have the light, you have the seed, you could sow it in their hearts, and you could save them from that power of Satan. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. You see, the wayside shows us who the enemy is. The enemy is Satan. It's the devil. It's the wicked one. It shows us that there's a power of Satan, a power of darkness. And soul winning is when we go out and we fight the forces of evil. We fight the power of Satan. How? By opening the eyes of the blind, by bringing light into darkness, by turning people from the power of Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, look at verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 4, 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, notice, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom, notice, the god of this world, who is it? That's Satan. It says, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, the power of Satan is in keeping people ignorant, is by not giving them the truth, is by keeping them blind, by blinding their minds. Notice it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Notice verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give, notice, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, while Satan is fighting to keep people ignorant to the truth, to keep them blinded, the Bible says that the gospel is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And so when you're sowing that seed, you're literally giving them the truth that Satan hates. You see, Satan hates soul winning. And you ought to realize that you're their only hope. Without you, they will stay blind. Without you, they will stay ignorant. Without you, they have no hope. And this should show you that there is an enemy. And if you're a soul winner, then you have an enemy in your life. And his name is Satan. His name is the wicked one. His name is the devil. See, when you're out there soul winning, what are you doing? You're fighting with the sword, with the word of God. And now that you're doing that, now Satan is going to fight against you. And you know what? When you're fighting, you should expect them to fight back. And so when you're soul winning, Satan is not going to make it easy for you to go soul winning. You see, Satan is going to be happy if you come to church 3 times a week, but you don't go soul winning. Satan doesn't care about that. You have no problems. You know, that's easy. Coming to church, sitting down 3 times a week, that's not a fight. No, that's just rest. That's not labor. No, but when you're out there with the sword and you're actually fighting Satan, you know what? He will fight you back. And you got to realize that you have an enemy if you're a soul winner. And so maybe you started soul winning and you thought, well, my life's going to get easier now. But you know what? Your life's going to get harder because now you have Satan fighting against you. See, now that you're soul winning, it may be that a financial crisis comes. It may be that there's family problems now. It may be that there's problems at work. It may be that things are going to get tough. You get a flat tire. You're having problems with your kids. You're having problems with your wife. You're having problems just all around. You know, maybe your health goes bad once you started soul winning. But you know, that's just Satan fighting you. Because you're actually doing something. You're actually engaging him in battle. And Satan doesn't want that. But you see, Satan doesn't mind if you come to church 3 times a week. That's not fighting. You're enjoying yourself. And you know, enjoy yourself. Hear the word of God. But you know what? You should be out there fighting the battles as well. Amen. But you ask, you know, will soul winning make my life easier? The truth is no. Soul winning will not make your life easier. But you know what? Without you, people will be hopeless. Without you, people will literally die and go to hell. You see, you have the power to fight the power of Satan. And so while the world looks at soul winning and just, you know, they think it's foolish, you're knocking on doors. But you know what? To them that perish, to them, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You see, the power of God is when we go out and we preach the word of God. And you might say, well, you know what? I'm going soul winning. I've been faithful. But you know what? Satan has an attack for you as well. Look at verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians 4 again. In verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, notice it says, we faint not. You see, if you're a soul winner and you're faithful now, you see, Satan's attack for you is to faint, is to get tired, is to get discouraged, is for you to eventually bow out of the fight, to slowly chip away, make you weary of soul winning, get tired. And if you've been soul winning and you feel like, man, I'm getting tired of soul winning, it's just too much, then you're starting to faint. And you need to strengthen that inner man. Because you know what? Satan wants you to faint. He wants you to bow out. And so if that's you, you should strengthen the inner man. You know, get in your Bible, get into prayer, and realize that you have an enemy. And it's not going to be easy. It's never going to be easy when we're in a battle. But you know what? We got to realize that without us, people are hopeless. Without us, there is no hope. You know, we are the hope for the world is by preaching the gospel. And so Satan, when you engage him, he will fight you back. Go back to Matthew 13, if you would. Matthew chapter number 13. You see, the wayside shows us that, no, not everyone's going to get saved. You know, you preach the word, and if people are being receptive, they're allowing you to give them the word of God. You take your time. Never consider it in vain. If you're sowing that seed, you sow it as much as you can, as long as they're willing to. And if they don't get saved, it's never in vain. But once you're doing that, realize that the wayside shows us that there is an enemy. Once you start doing it, Satan will literally come after you, and he wants you to faint. He wants you to get discouraged. He wants you to quit. He wants you to not go soul winning. He'll do whatever he can to just keep you out of the fight because he doesn't want you to fight him. But number 3, what else does the wayside show us? Look at verse number 19 again, Matthew 13. Verse 19, it says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and notice, and understandeth it not. It says, and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And in verse 19, this is the phrase why I chose this particular chapter for the parable. It says, and understandeth it not. You see, the reason why these people did not get saved is because they did not understand. And so the wayside shows us that soul winning needs to be clear. Soul winning needs to be understandable. It needs to be clear. It needs to be simple. And the reason these people did not get saved is because they just did not understand. They didn't get the message. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy 2. And so the wayside should show you that you as a soul winner need to be as simple, as clear, as understandable as possible. You see, the reason they didn't get saved is because they did not understand. And so when people get done talking with you at the door, they should never walk away from you thinking, well, I had no clue what we just talked about. That means you just weren't clear. And you should make sure that people know what you're trying to get across, know what you're saying. You should make it simple so that even a child will understand it, because the gospel is simple. You know, often we try to reinvent the wheel and complicate things, but no, we need to be as clear and as understandable as possible. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse number 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Notice, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, notice, who are taken captive by him at his will. It says that we, as servants of the Lord, we must not what? Strive. That means we're not going out there to pick fights. It says we must be, in verse 24, apt to teach. And we should have the ability to teach the gospel clearly, effectively, simple, understandable. It says patient. It says in meekness, notice, instructing, giving simple, clear instructions to those that impose themselves. So a couple of questions for you as you think about your own gospel presentation. You should ask yourself, for your gospel soul winning, do you have a clear explanation for every single verse that you go to? You see, there should not be a verse that you turn to in the Bible that you just read it, but you don't expound on it. You see, the natural man will not receive the word of God just naturally. You need to explain it. And if there's verses that you go to, but maybe you don't have an explanation for it, or you don't really explain it, or maybe even you're a little struggling with it, you need to focus on that verse. You see, every verse you turn to and you show someone, you should be going to it with a purpose and a plan. And you should break down every single verse that you go to help them understand what that verse means. You see, our goal is to make it understandable. Our goal is for them to understand. They did not get saved because they did not understand. So think about your gospel presentation. Like, is there a verse that you struggle with that maybe you're not explaining very clearly? You know, that's an area that you need to focus on in your own gospel presentation. You should ask yourself when you go soul winning, you know, do you ask the person that you're giving the gospel to, do you ask them questions? You see, the way you know if they're understanding you or not is by asking them questions. You need to make sure that you're just not preaching at them, but you're doing what? You're apt to teach patience in meekness. You're trying to get them saved. You're not just preaching down at them. You're trying to get them saved. And the way you know whether or not they understand is by asking them questions. You know, that's how you gauge whether or not somebody gets it, is by asking them, you know, does that make sense, what I'm saying to you? Or whatever it is, just make sure that you understand where they're at spiritually, whether or not they're gauging you. You should be able to ask them questions, and those questions should help you gauge whether or not they do or don't understand. Something else you should ask yourself is, do you take your time, or do you just rush through it? You see, often, you know, we want to go for a certain amount of time, we have things to do, but if somebody's open and receptive, you should take your time giving them the gospel. Why? Because that's an eternal soul. It's going to go to heaven or hell. And notice it says in patience. It says apt to teach patient. You need to be patient with people and not just rush through the plan of salvation just to check it off your list. You're trying to persuade them. The Apostle Paul in Acts 28, it says from morning until evening. I'm not saying you need to be there all day, but you know what? If they're going to listen to you, take that hour if it needs to. You know, sometimes it might take an hour, and that's okay. You should be patient with people and try your best to get them saved. So ask yourself, do you just go out there and just try to knock every single door? You know, we're trying to knock all the doors, but if they're listening, take your time and strive to get them saved. And ask yourself, you know, do you have a strategy? It says in verse 24, it says, apt to teach. When you're teaching something, you have a plan. You know, there's a plan when it comes to teaching. You know what you're teaching, which means what? You should have a strategy for your teaching plan, your teaching method. Which means what? You should have your verses highlighted. You should have a roadmap in your Bible. Ask yourself, do you have the verses highlighted in your Bible when it comes to soul winning? The clearer you make it for yourself, then the clearer it's going to be for the person you're talking to. Having a roadmap is very, very helpful. What else? Do you have a strategy to grow as a soul winner? Don't ever plateau in your spiritual walk. You should always try to become a better soul winner. You know, if you're just a silent partner and you're just following someone, that's your time to learn. You know, that's the time where you need to just listen to what they're saying, and they might say something that's clearer than the way you explain it, or that's more understandable than the way that you explain it. I remember when I first moved here, you know, I told Brother Stucky, I told him, I'm just going to follow you and listen to you. And I literally just copied pretty much when he had a better explanation, I told him afterwards, I was like, can you explain that to me again, what you said? Why? Because I liked what he was saying better. It made more sense to me. And that helped me learn and grow. And so when you're a silent partner, you need to just be listening. And if somebody says something that's clear than what you say, then you know what? Take that and learn from that. And always strive to make your presentation a lot simpler, a lot more understandable. You should ask yourself, you know, if you haven't watched the soul winning seminar, I know we talk a lot about that, but you should watch it online. That's going to help you have a simple, thorough gospel presentation. And you should also take a soul winning reference guide. You know, there's things on there that I need to memorize for myself. Why? Because people have questions. And we should be apt to teach, able to answer those questions. And so ask yourself, you know, do you have a plan to grow as a soul winner? Why? Because we should always be striving to make our soul winning more understandable, more clear. And for me, the people who I like to listen to are the people who have the simplest gospel presentations. People who are the clearest, I think, have the best presentations. When you're just up there talking and talking, it's kind of hard to follow that along. You need to have a plan and just make it as simple and basic as possible. So there's many lessons we can learn from the wayside. We learn what? We learn that the wayside shows us that not everyone's going to get saved. But you know what? That's okay. There's still great things being accomplished when you go soul winning. The wayside teaches us that there is an enemy, Satan, The power of Satan is fighting against us. And when you go soul winning, you are literally fighting the power of Satan. And the wayside shows us why they didn't get saved. They didn't get saved. Why? Because they just didn't understand. So you, as a soul winner, you should be striving to make your presentation as clear, as effective, as simple as possible. And so there's many lessons we can learn from the wayside. And I hope you can take these things home, write them down, and strengthen yourself in the inner man. Because if you're out there soul winning, you are in a spiritual battle and you do have an enemy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, dear God. I thank you for the opportunity and for your word, Lord. And for everyone that's here, God, I just ask that you be with our church, Lord, and help us to strive together for the faith of the gospel, Lord. And I just ask that you protect our church, protect the families that are here, Lord, and just be with us, God. We love you, and we thank you.